Please turn now in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 1. The very first Psalm. And I'm reading in the New American Standard Version. I do not have an aversion to other versions, but this is the one I'm accustomed to, so... Psalm 1 in the New American Standard Version. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God be pleased to bless to our hearts not only the reading of his word, but his word itself, that we might delight in it. Amen. This quarter in our preaching practicum, we are going to be preaching from the Psalms, and so I thought I'd begin with Psalm 1. And in reading the Psalms, Psalm 1, for example, we often get the idea that if we act properly and live properly, God will bless us. And we may read the very first verse of Psalm 1 in this way. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And people in the church will often get the idea in reading the Psalms and other portions of the Old Testament, if they would just live properly, then they would be right with God and have a place with God. But a proper reading of the Psalms and a proper reading of the Old Testament, and in fact a proper reading of the Bible, takes us in exactly the opposite direction. It takes us in the direction of understanding that when we receive the grace of God, then we will delight in the Word of God and live fruitful lives in righteousness. And so that's what I think Psalm 1 is actually teaching us, that when you receive the grace of God, you will delight in the Word of God, and you will live a fruitful life in righteousness. Let's see how this is worked out in Psalm 1. We'll start with the unbeliever, the sinner. And what we learn about the sinner right away is that the sinner does not stand in the judgment and is not a part of the assembly of the righteous. Look at verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, and nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Everyone is going to stand before God in judgment. But what the psalmist is talking about here is to be able to stand properly in the judgment and receive the yea and amen of God. That's what the psalmist is getting at. And the problem with the sinner is that the sinner does not stand in the assembly of the righteous. And the assembly of the righteous is the assembly of God's people, the assembly of the people who have received righteousness from God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's the assembly of the people who know that they do not have any righteousness of themselves, but need to be clothed with an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes from God through faith. And that's what the assembly of the righteous is all about. And the wicked do not stand, the sinner does not stand in the assembly of the righteous, and because this is the case, they will not stand up in the judgment, but will be condemned. You see, the problem with the wicked, the problem with the sinner, can be put something like this, that when they're caught in a trespass, and as some recently have been forced to do, they will make an apology to the public that goes something like this: I'm really sorry you were offended by what I had to say. I submit to you that that is a statement of self-justification, because that statement puts the onus on you. It's not my fault you're offended. It's your fault you were offended. I'm right. You're wrong. And that's the basic problem with the sinner, always attempting self-justification. In Evangelism Explosion, those of you who have been exposed to it, you know this is the case, correct? Why should God let you into His heaven? Well, I've lived a perfectly good life. Self-justification. That's the problem with the wicked, with the sinner. And the righteous have just the opposite perspective. And that's why the sinner will not stand in the judgment. The curse of death hangs over the sinner. Look at verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's the Old Testament picture, isn't it? Of the farmer winnowing the pitchfork. Some of you know what a pitchfork is, don't you? You've seen that picture of the old farmer and the and the wife standing with the pitchfork. You know what that is? The tossing the wheat or the grain into the air so that the chaff is separated. And when John the Baptist came on the scene and warned those who were listening to him that they needed to perform deeds that were in accord with righteousness, he also warned them that there was one who would be coming after him who would baptize them not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he had his winnowing fork, the pitchfork in his hand. And he would gather the wheat into barns, but the chaff would be burned with unquenchable fire. The chaff. That's what unbelievers are like. And verse 6 tells us, but the way of the wicked will perish. And it's not just the way of the wicked, as though their sins are going to be thrown into the lake of fire and they're going to be all right. It's the wicked themselves who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire and will suffer the second death, as the book of Revelation puts it. They will perish. And that's the essence of the psalm. It's not just sins that are evil. Oh, they're evil, all right. But the heart that does not delight in the Lord and that delights in evil is the heart of the individual who will perish. He or she is evil. And so the curse of death hangs over the wicked and the sinner. But the blessed person The blessed person will stand in the judgment and is in the assembly of the righteous. Look at verse 5 again. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Well, the opposite is the righteous. The person who receives righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the sinner does not exist or stand in the assembly of the righteous. But those of you who have received Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God through faith are part of the assembly of the righteous, the called out people of God. What an amazing thing that actually is. And I submit to you that this is true because the Lord knows you and knows your ways. Look at verse 6 again. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And it's not, you see, I submit to you again, the Lord knows things about you. It's deeper than that. Sure, the Lord does know all about you, but just as the way of the wicked will perish, and that involves not just the perishing of the sin of the wicked, but the perishing of the wicked themselves, the beginning of verse 6 refers to the Lord knowing you. Jesus reminds us that there will be those who stand in the judgment and claim, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not work many miracles in your name? And do you remember what Jesus says he will say to them? I never knew you. I never knew you. I did not know you before the foundation of the world. I did not know you when you walked in this world. I do not know you now as you stand before me in judgment. And just the opposite is the case with people clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ will say, I have known you from the foundation of the world. I knew you and walked with you when you were in the world, and I know you now as you stand before me in judgment. It's an intimate relationship and knowledge that Jesus Christ has of you. And I think we can take it that the Lord, here in verse 6 and also in verse 2, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ whom you must confess as Lord. It is Christ whom you must serve as Lord. And when we go back up to verse 2, the result of Christ's knowing you is this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When Christ knows you and you know Christ, the result is your delight in the words of Christ. Isn't that what the psalmist says? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he delights day and night. I remember a few years ago when I was courting my bride that I had great delight in doing things that I thought would be a delight for her. And that was what filled my heart. I think you can resonate with that. And that is the kind of delight we ought to have in the Word of Christ, the law of the Lord. And when the psalmist here speaks of the law of the Lord, he has Torah in view, Moses in view. He does not have in view simply the Ten Commandments, and often we look at it in that way. But the psalmist has a more expansive view of the law. And the law encompasses not only the moral stipulations, but it also encompasses the ceremonial. As Stephen put it in his defense before the Sanhedrin, the law of Moses included the testimony of the tabernacle, or the tabernacle of testimony. And what was the testimony of the tabernacle? The testimony of the tabernacle was the testimony concerning Jesus Christ, the testimony concerning the Messiah who was to come, and the faithful Jewish person who understood and believed in the promised Messiah knew that he or she could not possibly live up to the moral law in his or her own strength. And because this was the case, he or she would always repair to the ceremonies and the sacrifices and trust through those sacrifices in the promised Savior, and in that way would delight in the law of God, knowing that it not only presented a rule of life, but it also plainly displayed the way of redemption. And you cannot help but delight in the law of God, in the Word of God, in the testimony of God, in what Jesus Christ has done, if in fact He has known you from the foundation of the world, and your heart has been changed by Him, and your inclination and attitude is toward Him. And you say, yes and amen, O God, my delight is in fact in Your Word. I fail, yes, but I know it's not on the basis of what I have done or what I can do that You accept me. It's on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's what delight in the law of God really involves. And what does that delight then issue in? Well, look at verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. There will be a fruitful life when God knows you, and there is a delight in your heart for His Word. That new life issues in fruit in righteousness. That's what the Word of God teaches us. Do you not recall the good words of Jesus again? By their fruits you will know them. It's not by great gifts that we are known. And there are many who have great gifts and who labor in the church. But unless there is that accompanying fruit of the Spirit, they are not known by Christ, and they do not have the Holy Spirit residing in them, inclining them to a love and delight in the Word of God. And so fruit accrues. And when you tell the truth, it is not with an anger that accompanies the telling of the truth. But it is a speaking of the truth in love and kindness and gentleness, although perhaps with some force, there is fruit which abounds, and the life prospers, not because of innate gifts, but because of God's good gift. When you, I say once again, receive the grace of God, what will happen? You will delight in the Word of God, and there will be fruit in righteousness that accompanies your life. That's the lesson of the psalm, it seems to me. Let's read it once again. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatsoever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When you receive God's grace, you will delight in God's word and live a fruitful life in righteousness.